I've really been looking forward to this time together with everyone. The Lord's been taking me through some things, and I'm happy to share those with you. I will say this, that what I hope to do over the next four Sundays is not so much of a teaching to your brain, but more like a team effort to see what the Holy Spirit is speaking to our hearts. And so I'll be doing more like facilitation. And so sometimes you wonder, you know, is it okay if I say something? Well, the less I say is good, and the more everybody says is great. So in fact, if you're not sitting near someone, a lot of the things that I'm going to be doing is I'm going to kind of be putting some questions out there. And so it'd be great if you had somebody that, like the two of you, could just look at each other and say, oh, let's talk about this for a second, and then I'll get some feedback from you. So find somebody to kind of sidle up to if you can, and just be ready to do a lot of interacting, and we'll just ask the Holy Spirit now to lead us. Father God, thank you for this beautiful morning and for these beautiful members of my family in Christ, and we ask your Holy Spirit to come and just lead us over the course of these next few Sundays. Speak to our hearts. We know our hearts are so important to you, and so just we open our hearts wide to let you have your way. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, the name of this series of sessions is called The Pressure's Off. And this comes from the title of a book that Debbie and I read. Let me see if I can get it up there. There you go. By a famous Christian writer named Larry Crabb. And it was something that Debbie and I were we were going through some things, and we thought this book would be helpful to us. And we really enjoyed it. And so what I want to do is kind of talk some about what we learned from that book, but I want to expand it to talk about a whole lot of other things. But I just want you to think for a minute in your life, when you hear that phrase, the pressure's off, what's your first reaction to that phrase? What's that?
Challenges.
Like challenges that you're facing, and then, but the pressure's off part, how does that feel?
Off, the pressure's off. Okay, I thought you said up. Uh-huh.
Peace, yeah.
Relief.
Victory, yeah.
Relief. Peace.
Deep breath.
Yeah, taking like a whew, wiping the sweat off your brow. I think about the English translation for the word, the evangel, the gospel, is good news. And so if somebody came up to you and said, hey, the pressure's off, that would feel like very good news to me. And I feel like in our day and age, we need to hear this good news again. And so I thought about, as I'm talking, what I'm going to be kind of, in general terms, I want to be talking about the gospel. I want to be kind of talking about the kingdom of God and what it looks like if we're really getting a hold of it. And I want to be talking about abundant life. And that's another thing that God just really wants for all of us. So the way that might look is the pressure's off for all three of those things. Okay, so here's this next question. Are you tired of the rat race? Perhaps there is more to life. And so here's a question that I want you to just turn around and talk to somebody. Where do you experience stress and pressure in your life? And as long as I give you, we probably could spend the whole 45 minutes coming up with things. But what I thought we could do is I've got three markers up here, and this is something I like to do. But I love to have you just talk to somebody, get the first three or four things that you think of, send somebody up here, and in about 4 or 5 minutes, I would love to have this board full of places in your life where you experience pressure, where you experience stress, where you kind of face challenging things in your life, okay? So turn to somebody, start talking, coming up with some ideas, and then let's just have people run up the board and let's see if we can fill this up in about 5 minutes. Because in our days, in this life, it's not going to be hard to fill this board with stress and pressure. Go ahead and talk to somebody and come write something down. What's that?
You're the only one that's close enough to me.
All right. Tell me where you feel it.
Money, cars,
in the military,
cutting the grass. And you're going to have to write them because I
should. Okay. I'll get them.
I'm going to put you to work.
All right. Hey, come on up here. Yeah, I get it. All right, what else? Huh? Okay. Yeah. Yeah, that's good. Okay, we got to get more people trotting up here. Come on, don't be shy. There you go. Yeah, if we didn't have anybody coming up, I would think I was talking to the wrong crowd. But I feel like if I give you a little time, we can get that board full. Got another one?
Waiting.
Oh, yeah.
That would be the complaint department.
That's a good one.
It's closed whenever you need it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. All right. For those that are sitting over that way, I'll kind of go through this list. And this is just, like I said, we could dig down and keep going and fill up three or four boards. People that feel stressed by their job. A couple of people put down, like, money problems and worrying about finances. Kids. Okay. Spiritual growth for my family. Caregiving, relationships, responsibilities, social issues, serving, and then family care. Keeping up with the grass, keeping yard mowed. Your health, a big thing that has an exclamation point. Aging. Cars breaking down and needing maintained and having gas put in them. Military, police situations. Raising grandkids, homeschooling, Here's someone with a husband with PTSD, and the July 4th was hard for them because of the fireworks. Living separated from my loved one, that would be very stressful and hard. Who moved my cheese? That struggling with the question about what does God want from me? Somebody's written down military, safety, family. The stresses of raising children, keeping the work and home balance going correctly, thinking about issues with grandchildren. And somebody wrote down just when you're in the process of waiting on something that's stressful. And somebody came back up and circled that one again. So just a few ideas about things that are hard for us and stressful. And I wrote down one other slide that just said, if you think about it, how can religion create stress and pressure on people? And I don't see that happening so much here, but in a lot of churches in this county that are more, say, legalistic, right? You kind of have to walk on eggshells, you know, when you come into those places. And so that's not good. I don't think that's really what God is wanting for his children. But we're surrounded then by lots and lots of stress and pressure. And I find a lot of encouragement from this verse from Jesus out of Matthew. It's one of my favorite verses of the Bible. It says, "Come unto me, all the labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." So I think about, okay, here's our life. We're surrounded by all this hard, challenging, difficult, stressful stuff. But let's just stop and ask ourselves just a second, what is it that God wants for us? What does he want for us? And so here's one answer. Yeah.
When Dr. Michael Heiser passed away, I tried to get everything I could that he had written, and of course it's all gone pretty much. And I got one paperback, and it said, and the title was, "What Does God Want?" And immediately I go into this, well, no, he wants us.
Yes.
And the whole history of mankind.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Yeah, come on.
Then when you come unto the Lord, I mean, think about that. It's a rest, but not immediately, because it's like it's so different.
Yeah.
Like Pastor John would say, the pyramid is upside down on the kingdom of God, but it's really right side up, but the rest is upside down.
Yeah.
You know, because it's a, what would you call it? I don't know, but there's a word for it, and you would probably know, but it's just like opposite of what you even think. Beautiful.
Yeah.
And it takes time to edge off this mess that we've been.
Right.
You know, gotta do this, gotta do that.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I wrote "Who Moved My Cheese" is David brought this up. Do you remember the book "Who Moved My Cheese"? Now, I never read it, but I heard people talk about it, so that was enough for me. But it's uncomfortable. We're used to certain things, and I know when you're raising kids, I'm glad somebody put kids up there, because that would have been my first thing. It was hard when you look back, because there's a lot of things that you just don't do that aren't necessarily sinful to do, but they're kids. You know, and there's a lot of hold back, and then they get older and that all changes. But anyway, on that,
yeah.
God bless. Thanks.
Yeah. I think it'd be good to just say right here from the beginning that when God invites us to rest and think about what does he want from us, I like the way you said, talk about that relationship, because I don't think anywhere he talks about just plucking us out of the middle of this crazy world that we live in. And we're supposed to be salt and light here. That would solve all my problems, you know, if just God would put me on a beautiful island, you know, that all these hassles and everything. That's not what we're talking about. But what God has in mind for us is his peace and his rest in the middle of all that stuff.
Yeah, just a note on that. He doesn't take the labor away. He doesn't take the load away.
Right.
He gives you rest so that you can pick it up.
Yes, yeah.
So you don't work yourself to death.
Uh-huh. And so how could that How could that tie back into the title of this book, The Pressure's Off? What you're just saying there, Jeff? Say that again. Yeah. Yeah.
He relieves all that, and he will tell us exactly what to do or what not to do, whether we need to say something and always say what he says,
mm-hmm.
or whether we should say anything at all.
Yeah.
But just let him handle it and to tell him, and he will work it out.
Right.
Sometimes we just kind of get out on trying to help him.
Sometimes? Yeah. So what you're saying, Kim, is so true and so important. And if I was just teaching this class, I would just say, okay, take that down as a note and memorize that and get it into your head. But here's the problem. Everybody in this room knows what you said is true. How many of us have had it move all the way down to our heart level, to where that's our go-to, that's our first reaction, that's our identity, is that we're just resting in God, that we're just trusting in God. And I don't want to be mean, but I just want to suggest that if we're humble, we probably all realize that, yes, amen, what you said is absolutely true. How well am I doing in living it? How well am I doing in my day-to-day to just say, I'm resting in God? And I think there, in a little bit, I'm going to give you a report card or you can grade yourself, see how you're doing. But, so I'm not here trying to talk to your head. I'm here today as your brother in Christ saying, all of us, I'm sure, need to get that truth deeper down, you know, into our hearts and let God do his work of transforming us and getting us to the place where that is true for us. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Go ahead. Yeah. Yeah.
If we meditate on it day and night, just like we would take medicine.
Yeah.
Day,
right.
God's word constantly, the words that are necessary for that situation to give us the peace we need.
Yeah.
And that takes meditation.
Yeah.
You can't just blow it off with something and then think, okay. But you have to feed your mind and heart.
Right.
Once you get it down in that heart, it becomes yours.
Mm-hmm.
You know it's yours. You know?
So that's great. Where I'm hoping to go is off of this list and with some other things I've had, I want to look at about a dozen different areas that create stress for me, where it would be good news if I could figure out how to let God take the pressure off. But I'm going to do it with all of us, and it's kind of like probing around in our hearts to say, like with this particular thing, how am I doing with that? And so what it is it's kind of drawing our attention to what may have been like a blind spot for us. And once we kind of can start to say, you know what, I didn't realize it, but that kind of describes me. I'm kind of having that struggle, and I need to find God's peace and rest there. Then we can start to apply the truth of God's word to it. Yeah. Right. Yep.
I'm just going to be vulnerable.
You go right ahead. You're safe here.
I have seen amazing things whenever I get up early in the morning, uh-huh. and I spend that quality time with the Lord.
Yeah.
And when that quality time, I mean, I'm not doing all the talking.
Right.
I'm doing a lot of listening.
Yeah.
And I journal that.
Uh-huh.
When I do that, I mean, the whole day goes amazing. I have answers on the spot.
Yeah.
You know, and not have to try to reason, logic it on my own.
Yeah.
I have spent that, you know, where there is that flow.
Yeah.
And then there's times when I didn't do that. And, you know, and I just, oh, I'm so tired.
Yeah.
You know, and I stayed in the bed, and it was easier to stay in the bed the next day.
Uh-huh.
And then the next day. And
yeah.
Then the next day. And all of a sudden, all these challenges are popping up. And I'm trying on my own to handle it.
Yes.
And it just doesn't work like that.
Yes.
And for an example, my honey has PTSD and Vietnam veteran. So July the 4th is the hardest day for him.
Yeah.
And so he was distant all day long. I tried my best to get him, come on over, and I couldn't do anything I said. It just didn't work.
Yeah.
Because there was something going on. You know,
it's triggering all this stuff.
Bombs and the missiles that came toward him and mm-hmm. stuff like that. All of that was going on. And I allowed that for a few minutes. Thank the Lord it wasn't an hour or more.
Yeah.
But for a few minutes, I had it.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't break through that. I don't know what to do. And I didn't spend time with my Lord yesterday morning like that appointed time.
Yeah.
And so I wasn't even able to handle it.
Yeah.
And so the thing was is that after that, and then he said some things, I said some things, and then next thing I know, I said, that's not the way it is, I am so and so and so, and I started praising God with my whole might. I mean, I was loud.
Yeah.
I started in that living room, I was going around, I was saying, God, I just want to praise you, I want to thank you, that no matter what's going on,
yeah.
that you all is well.
Yeah.
I mean, I got busy praising and worshiping the Lord.
Yeah.
And the grandkids were like, great. You know, I started singing a song of the Lord. It just brought me back up to where I was supposed to be.
Yes.
And I mean, that was a hard moment because, you know, I was really loud.
Yeah.
But it turned everything. It was like, whoop.
Yeah.
And the enemy had to leave.
Right.
And how can he stay when you're praising and worshiping the Lord?
Right. You
know? And so that's what happened. That's how my day turned out.
Yeah.
Praise God, it turned around. But yeah. I had to make a decision.
Yes.
And not be timid about it. I mean,
right.
You know.
Thank you, Jennifer.
You're welcome.
Yeah. There's a word that in our culture people kind of look up to folks who have this quality is self-reliance. I'm a self-made man. I pull myself up by my own bootstraps, rags to riches, started in the stock room, all those things, you know. An author, Horatio Alger, wrote all these stories about these guys who started from nothing and turned out. But in the Bible, self-reliance is a big problem. And, you know, really, really, we need to learn to be completely reliant on God. And there's this whole story of the Israelites wandering through the wilderness for 40 years. Why did God take them out into the wilderness? Well, I believe it's because he wanted to teach them this lesson about who you're going to rely on. And I feel like that this topic, like the pressure's off, a lot of this pressure comes when we are looking to ourselves, right? And trying to figure it out for ourselves and come up with some kind of an answer. And God says, no, I want you to learn to trust me in this and rest in my provision and rest in my answers and rest in what I've got for you. So that's just something to think about. How am I doing on the self-reliant scale? And how am I doing on my daily dependence on God? Like desperately needing him. I mean, the whole thing about manna in the wilderness, right? It was just, how much did he send him? Just enough for that day, right? And so some of them wanted to kind of hoard some and whatever. But no, you have to learn this. Is I'm going to take care of you. Give us this day our daily bread, just what we need, he knows, and he wants us to kind of learn that. And in doing that, I mean, if we get to the place where down in our heart of hearts, we say, you know what? I really believe the man is going to be there tomorrow. I can relax. I can trust him. I can believe that he's got my best interests at heart. And what a load of pressure that takes off. All right, you guys are going great so far. Here's just a thought. Wait a minute. Yeah, go ahead.
As you were saying this, I kind of got this, you know, how sometimes you get a revelation. I got a little smidgen of something that I really want to think on even deeper. When you were talking about the wilderness, why did God put them in the wilderness? It's probably to get the wilderness out of their soul.
Yeah.
You know, out of their soul. So, and then to learn to depend on him in the wilderness, and because our soul needs renewing.
Oh, absolutely.
The word of God. You see that?
Yeah. Yeah. Right. When I think about this idea of like the pressure being off and like having to rely on myself and like performance and all these things, I look back in the Old Testament and I look at this concept of the Sabbath. And the Sabbath is kind of a strange thing. They didn't have the Sabbath in any of the cultures around them. And I began to say, what's going on with this whole concept of the Sabbath? And is that an Old Testament way of talking about the New Testament idea of the gospel, right? That we don't have to, we can't take care of our sin problem. All we can do is trust Jesus to take care of it, right? And so instead of all our religious efforts at trying to burn brownie points with God, we just have to have faith to say Jesus took care of that at the cross. So that all this stuff about the Sabbath, I mean, that was a big deal. Those Pharisees sure hammered Jesus on it. It was a big deal. But what if this whole idea in the Old Testament of the Sabbath is just paving the way and kind of like a forerunner for what we see Jesus doing for us on the cross? So it says here, 6 days you shall labor, do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God, and in it you shall not do any work. And so just thinking, how does the Sabbath foreshadow the gospel? Can you come up with an answer to that? How does all that idea of like having a day where you just rest, how does that kind of prefigure, foreshadow what happened to us at Calvary? Yeah. Yeah. That's the New Testament, right? So we can have it every day. Awesome. Yeah.
It's like when Jesus did what he did, it was a new day, it was a new beginning.
Yeah, absolutely, a new covenant.
The seventh day now. It showed how the taking the worms from the day before turns to worms.
How it does do?
Taking your worries to the next day turns to worms.
Yeah, it does turn to worms.
Trying to prepare for the next day when he said not to do that.
Yeah.
So taking that problem to the next day turns to worms. Yeah.
I grew up with five squirrely little brothers that we got into a lot of stuff, and I had this mother who, God must have known what kind of a woman it would take to raise six boys, but she loved the Lord, and she had a saying that still sticks with me, and she would say, "Today is Sunday, boys. You don't have to be good today." Well, that sounded like good news for us, right? You don't have to be good today because it's Sunday. Well, but what she was trying to say was exactly this. It's not your righteousness anyway that gets you to heaven. It's what Jesus did for us. So I spent some time reflecting on that. Like, isn't it great, you know? I don't have to be good today because Jesus paid it all. Hallelujah. I don't know if I really recommend that. If you've got kids, go tell them, you know, you don't have to be good today. But there's a lot of truth in that. All right. So a well-known and loved pastor and author who just passed away recently, Tim Keller, has written his definition of, well, what is that good news? What is the gospel? And here it is. The gospel is this. We are more sinful and flawed in ourselves than we ever dared believe. That's the bad news side of the good news. Yet, at the very same time, we are more loved and accepted in Jesus Christ than we ever dared hope. Wow, that's wonderful. That's like the pressure's off, you know? We are more loved and accepted in Jesus than we ever dared hope. And I think we'll get to this, talking about if you've grown up in a home where you dealt with, like, conditional love. Well, who hasn't, really? I mean, it's just everywhere, you know, conditional love. We gotta work at it. We gotta earn it. We gotta prove ourselves, you know? Wow, the gospel right there. What a wonderful, wonderful message that is, of the pressure being off. You know, God, I've got great news for you today. It doesn't matter how much you've screwed up in your life. God is crazy about you, and more than any of us will ever know. And we haven't done one tiny thing to deserve it. We can just relax. We can rest. We can just soak it up. Or can we? A lot of people struggle with this. I struggle with it. I mean, and I wish there was some kind of little pixie dust or magic wand where we could just kind of go around and bing, bing, bing everybody's head, you know, and suddenly I get it. Suddenly, I realize how much God loves me. And I think that's just something, though, that through the gentle work of His Spirit and His patiently keeps on just deeper and deeper and deeper, just showing us how precious we are to Him, how much He loves us. And it's something that, you know, you're a kid. Jesus loves me, this I know. And we all know this, right, in our head. Oh, yeah, I know Jesus loves me. This I know. But let me just ask you this. When you get up in the morning and throw your legs off the bed and your feet hit the floor and you got a day ahead of you that's going to be tough, is that the first thing that that's on your mind? Is that your identity? Is that really gotten down to your heart? And I would say probably none of us, it's gotten all the way down. And it probably won't until we get to the new heavens and the new earth. But it's where God wants to keep on inviting us. He's there every day just calling us. Come a little closer. Come to me. Rest in me. Yeah. 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 Right. Right. But it's just like, it sounds like He's telling you just there, the pressure's off. You don't have to be some kind of super grandma. You know, just love Him. Just let Him flow through you. And
yeah.
Right. Yeah, that's really good. They're going to pick up on your spirit, the peace that you have. Yeah, that's good. All right, where are we? So, the pressure's off. How does this title relate to the gospel? I think we hit that. How would your life be different if the pressure was off? Imagine this. How would your life be different if the pressure was off? Yeah.
Who is walking in freedom. And it's so beautiful. And I think that is what I want.
Yeah.
I don't notice it. So the modeling.
Right.
You know, like having a spiritual mom or prayer partner that can kind of see our own behaviors and bring them out.
Mm-hmm.
Shall we just let God flow through us, you know, in that relaxed way? And kids know it.
Yeah.
Kids love it when you're free like that.
Yeah. I think that's probably exactly what Jesus was doing when he told Mary to just look at Martha here. I mean, Martha to look at Mary. And, yeah, just that, here's an example. Wouldn't it be great if we really got this down at our heart level, walked out of here today, the pressure's off, just believing that God loves us the way we are, and then everybody around us this week is going like, man, what is that? What have you been smoking, you know? What is that you've got? And there's just this peace. So. Yeah, how would your life be different if the pressure was off?
Well, you'd be free.
Free.
Okay, free.
Yeah.
Galatians 5:13. For you were called to freedom, brethren. Only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another.
Yeah.
So, if we didn't have some kind of pressure,
yeah,
we could turn.
Yeah, into yeah. Freedom is a that's a great word, because it feels sometimes like we got this ball and chain, you know.
Somebody mentioned love over here. Yeah, love the Lord. We were talking about that earlier.
Yeah.
But sometimes He'll bring people into your life.
Yeah.
That you need to learn how to love.
Yeah. For sure. For sure.
Kids, grandkids?
Yeah.
Kids?
So, John's just come up with one word, free. If you imagine your life, if the pressure's off, how would you feel? You feel free. What are some other words that would describe how would that impact your life? What if you really get this today and it goes from here down to here? You walk out of here. What's a word that's going to describe? Yeah. Contentment. And that's a beautiful thing because that glorifies God so much. If His children are satisfied and content, people go like, they got a daddy that takes good care of them.
We have to learn how to live.
Yeah. And so that's like all for the next 3 Sundays, that's what we want to keep talking about. How do we learn to really, really let Him love us like that? Yeah. Self-reliant. Yeah.
When she mentioned the word, you both did, pressurized. I thought of this thing that Mom used to have, this pressure cooker the whole time.
Oh, right.
It used to scare me.
It's scaring.
Because it would go, and I'd go, Mama, when I was a little girl.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's sounding off like giving that alarm, right?
Yeah.
You need to loosen something.
Right. Something's got to You got to let that pressure off. Right. All right. Let me just show you a couple of slides, and then I'm going to give you a homework assignment. How about that? What does God want for us? I mean, just think about this question. I've asked this before in a different way, but just today, what does God want for us in our lives? And I would say, I like this verse, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. So freedom, and then just relief, and then peace. Wouldn't it be wonderful to get to the place where down in our identity, we are beloved children of God, and that He's taking care of us, and we can rest in and experience peace in our life. So here's what I have for you. I made a slide of it. John's going to help me. I have a little report card right here that, guess what? The teacher's not going to fill out. You get to fill this out yourself. You're going to grade yourself. And what this is this is a little list of the fruit of the Spirit, okay? And so you might say, okay, am I saved? A. Am I going to heaven? A. That's really good. But this fruit of the Spirit, what I want you to do is I want you to take this home, and I want you to reflect on this a little bit and say, okay, how am I doing in my day-to-day experience of really showing love and being able to love other people? John, let me just give you a few more of those to give out. All right, good. Okay. All right. Like joy, what would I give myself like my daily experience of joy? Or how about peace? With all the stress and the pressure, how much peace am I really experiencing? And what I want you to do is kind of give yourself a grade down through there and just realize that what God wants for you, can I get a little bit more help passing these out? What I want you to realize is what God has in mind for us is He wants to give us A's in every one of those areas. He wants us to be full of love and be full of joy, be full of peace. And so if we're not writing down an A in any of those things, that means that there's still work to be done, all right? That means that God still has more of His truth to bring to bear in our lives and more of the work of His Spirit to help us to mature and grow and become what He wants us to be. So let's just... Yeah.
Somebody wants to look it up.
Yeah, look it up. Yeah. God is causing you stress. Yeah. Yeah. Yes. No, you're right. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I'm not talking about removing the stress things. I'm talking about how do we handle that. Yeah. Okay, just again, on that little report card, all that is just thinking about not what you know in your head about, you know, the Bible and doctrine and what you believe. This is just in your day-to-day life, how far has it come from your head down to your heart and to your identity? And so if you start and say, how loving am I really? And, you know, if it's C+, okay? Well, all that's going to do is just going to say, you know what? God probably still has some work that He wants to do in my life. And so that's That's what we'll be talking about the next 3 weeks, is how kind of getting further down to our heart, to where that's our experience, that's our identity. Let's just thank God. Thank you, Father, for being here with us, and Holy Spirit, for directing us. How we appreciate your great love for us, even though we are totally unworthy, and the invitation that you give us to draw closer and to rest in you. Father, keep helping us to let that truth filter down from things that we understand conceptually into our identity and who we are. And may we be those people who are of testimony and a witness to your goodness in our lives and bring peace to the ones around us. In Jesus' name, amen.